Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Modern Homesteading Podcast. This is your host, Rachel Jamieson. Today we are interviewing, or I am interviewing, Krista Green from Zone 3 Vegetable Gardening. Krista, could you introduce yourself and tell the audience where your what your site is and where it can be located? You have a few different social media sites. Mm-hmm. And then just introduce yourself. Tell us about where you live and kind of how you got here.
Sure. Yeah. It's always an honor to be a guest on a podcast. So thanks for letting me come chat with you today, Rachel. I'm Krista Green, as you mentioned, and my website that I run is Zone 3 Vegetable Gardening. And as the name describes, a lot of what I do is growing vegetables in my cold climate. So I am located, I'm up in Canada, in Alberta, just south of Calgary, in a small town of about just under 2,000 people called Black Diamond. And we have 4 acres here and 3 kids. My kids are between the ages of 8 and 12 now. And I have quite a big vegetable garden. We keep adding to it and adding to it. We have some chickens here on the property. Two Great Pyrenees, which are amazing with our chickens. Yeah, I adore them. And I guess you asked me to talk a little bit more about what I do. So I like to share and teach about gardening. When we first moved to this property, I actually really struggled a lot with growing a garden. Some of my background behind this, I did grow up gardening. My mom loved to garden. We always had a family garden, although I was in a warmer climate in the Okanagan area of BC. And so we moved to Alberta when I was 14, I think. And gardening here definitely is a lot different than gardening in BC. But we still had a big garden here. And then I worked at a greenhouse for a long time. So when we lived in town, I used a community garden. That was successful. I loved it. And then once we moved to this acreage 7 years ago, this 4 acres, I really, really struggled my first year. I would call it a flop. My carrots were tiny. My beets were tiny. My lettuce didn't grow. And I all of a sudden was left searching for answers of what I could do to fix those things. And in my searching, I found I wanted more mentors that were in this climate. So then as I've been learning, and because I had a garden knowledge that I was able to bring with me here to help troubleshoot some of my issues, which mostly are soil issues. My soil and my water are both awful. But anyways, so as I learned, I just grew in a desire to help other people so that they didn't have to have such a hard time learning all these things I was learning.
Yeah.
So then, now I share a lot on Instagram. I'm really active on Instagram under Zone 3 Vegetable Gardening. I have one online self-paced gardening course where I've tried to package everything into a nice package to help people get started. And then I do some coaching. I do some online courses. And I'm taking courses through University of Saskatchewan. I'm on my second course right now, and hopefully I'll do a third, a spring semester one.
Mm-hmm. And those are all for gardening? And
yeah, those are for gardening because I felt like I had the hands-on practical knowledge, but I'm wanting to learn more of the book knowledge base to add to that because I like teaching so much, so that then it just, then I can help problem solve other people's problems better.
That's
a little bit, about me and where I come from.
Well, you said that you kind of grew up doing a little bit of this. Did you say how much land you have? You have 4 acres. You did say that.
We have, yeah, four.
Yeah. So what is it that you grow, and what methods do you use? Do you grow in your typical rows that we see on TV, or are you growing in raised beds? What are some of your favorite methods that you're using? You said you have poor soil and poor water to help grow.
For sure. So we have deer is one of my problems I deal with here. Lots and lots of deer around. So I have, I call it my garden compound. We have a big, like 9-foot deer fence around my main vegetable garden. I do use raised beds. Part of the reason for that being my poor soil. I also have poplar trees around, and poplar roots are awful. Even my raised beds, they come up in them and they steal the nutrients. But anyways, instead of trying to deal with the poplar roots. And the other thing, we are actually on a reclaimed gravel pit land. So it's something I didn't think about before I moved here, but they strip all that great topsoil. And yeah, it's rocks under the ground pretty much, and then replace it with a couple inches of not great topsoil. Those are some of the challenges that I have been able to overcome using raised beds by learning a lot of things, working on my soil. So the raised beds, I personally use treated wood. This is very controversial.
Yeah,
in Canada, our wood is treated with copper and copper.
Okay.
So arsenic has not been allowed to be used in treated wood here for, about 17 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So people are, I just want to throw this out here because a lot of people are uneducated. They have no idea. And so now I'm seeing all these things about people adding copper into their gardens. Have you seen that? Because it's supposed to deter pests and it's supposed to be good for your soil and your plants.
I've seen people adding copper, but I've also seen people using copper wires for the electroculture. So I've seen a lot more about copper lately. It seems to be like a hot topic. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And I can't say I know a ton about it, but I just find it ironic that people are like, you cannot use treated wood in your raised beds. And then when you actually do the research, it's like, okay, here in Canada, they use copper. So you won't use treated wood, but you will add copper to your soil.
Right.
Those two don't match up. Anyways, so I just thought I would throw out that little bit of information.
Interesting. So I didn't know that. I mean, it makes sense. You're a different country, so they do things differently. I think that I haven't done the research lately because I don't have raised beds right now, but I think that they have changed using arsenic.
I would hope so, that they've changed that as well in the States.
But I'm not positive, so nobody quote me on this research.
Exactly. Yeah.
So are you making your own compost then to put into these raised beds? Okay.
Yeah. And chickens and gardening, I feel like they go so well hand in hand. Yes. They are great compost creators.
Yes.
The wood shavings and the manure, and then, you know, all the garden scraps you can throw into the chickens, and then you end up with lots of compost that you can add into your garden. I do sometimes outsource compost. I have a friend who has sheep. I've gotten some from her, and I have a friend who has cattle, horses, goats that I've gotten some from, because I have such a large garden and I only have like 20 to 30 chickens.
Perfect.
Most times.
Mm-hmm. How big is your garden? Do you know?
I think I have 11, 10 by 4 foot raised beds. I haven't done the math on the square footage. And then I have another garden bed that kind of runs along the outside of the garden. So I don't know. Hopefully that gives people a ballpark idea.
Right.
I do feel like where it's at right now, I am able to grow a lot of the food needed for our family of four. We definitely don't always eat garden produce. There's nights that it's like chicken nuggets and fries. I know that's not the healthiest. And
we're all human.
I would love if we always ate garden produce, but I'm able to grow all my garlic, all my onions. We still have garden carrots in the fridge that the kids take to school. They're sick of, but that's okay. Yeah. Potatoes to last through the year. So I still have some little pumpkins and some butternut squash stored that I'm using up. So
are you growing other things? Like, I know those are like your longer storage crops. you have a fairly big garden. So are you growing pretty much most of your food, at least in the summer, probably a lot of your vegetables in the summer, and then
yes, in the
summer, it over to the winter.
Yeah. And through the winter, in the winter, I also have the hydroponic growing system indoors.
Yes.
My goal has always been kind of to grow all, ideally, I would love to grow all the food our family needed to carry through a year. That is, I don't know that I will ever reach that, but we can always strive for that, right?
Right.
When I say all the food we need, I included in that would be the food the chickens need, because
I was going to ask you about that. They're part of anything for them.
I don't grow a lot for them. I grow sunflowers. Sunflowers are good for the soil. They add nitrogen back into the soil, and then they're one thing that you can clip off the tops and throw them into the chickens if the birds don't strip them first. So that's something I grow for the bees, I grow for the chickens, I grow for the soil, and I grow because they're pretty.
Right.
And then, yeah, definitely any garden scraps that the chickens can have, we send their way.
Very cool. And that's one of my goals, too, is to grow some feed for the chickens and other animals that we hope to acquire at some point. But So you said that you're doing some indoor gardening. Mm-hmm. With the hydroponics, have you found that a learning curve? And do you have a large system? What are you growing in that? And are you just growing in the winter in that?
Yeah, so I do only use it in the winter because I prefer to be outside than in. And in the summer, I have an abundance of vegetables. The hydroponic growing system, it is a large one. It's a garden tower. It's from Juice Plus.
Okay.
I do have a blog post I wrote recently on it that I tried to answer because I get a lot of questions on it. So I tried to answer all the questions I commonly get asked. So if you head over to my website, Zone 3 Vegetable Gardening, and find that blog post, I have more information. So I try and seed the hydroponics in mid-August would be ideal, because then by the end of September, when my lettuces have froze, I would be harvesting from the hydroponic tower. You can grow things like strawberries, cucumbers. Pretty much what you can't grow with hydroponics is anything that is considered a root vegetable.
Okay.
Right? Which makes sense.
Yeah.
I mostly use it for greens, and herbs. So lots of fresh lettuce, the pak choy, if you're a pak choy or bok choy person, that does really, really well in the hydroponics.
Okay.
And I love, you know, if I can have fresh cilantro and parsley and thyme and rosemary and all those fresh herbs all winter long. Dill does amazing. I cannot keep up with my dill from the hydroponic garden.
Mm-hmm. So are you using the little, not the cocoa core? What are
rock wool.
The rock wool. That's what it's called. So you're using the little rock wall in that. And is your system like just on like a timer?
It is. Yeah. Okay, so it all came as one big package.
That's pretty cool.
If you look at buying one, you can do pay monthly over 12 months, which I really like that option for no extra cost. Like there's no,
that's really nice.
Yeah. Nothing in there. And it's also nice because if you kind of think of it as like part of your grocery bill. So yes, your grocery bill's higher for 12 months, but then after that it's paid off and it's going to lower your grocery bill from then on. Right. So
how long have you had it?
I have had mine for it for 3 winters. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
And I've had no issues at all. I'm still using the original, they give you big jugs of the hydroponic solution.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting low on those jugs, but I did order some extra rock wool when I first ordered it, but I've never had to reorder anything. So, and I just use my normal outdoor seeds.
That's really something. So you paid for that first year and now it's basically been free other than your seeds. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there is the estimate for how much it costs to run with the lights and the pump, because there's a water pump that circulates water every 45 minutes. So I think I personally haven't broke down the energy costs, but people say, and I know energy has gone up. I don't know about you, but
it varies depending on where you're at too. So much.
Yeah. But like, I don't know, anywhere from $5 to $10 possibly. I like to think because the lights are so bright, mine is in the basement. And so if I did not have my hydroponic tower, we would have a light on. But during the day, I'll turn the light off because the tower provides enough light in the basement. It kind of works as a light down there. So I feel like, and they're LED lights. They don't use a lot of energy. So I feel like it like offsets because then I'm using, anyways. So it works out. It's really hands off. When I first put everything in there, I don't even have to add water often for about 4 weeks because the plants are so small, they're not using a lot of it. And then as they mature, I start to have to add it every 7 to 10 days, possibly. But besides adding water once in a while, unlike an outdoor garden that, you know, you have to weed and you have to care for, it's super hands-off. There's not much you have to do.
That's pretty cool. Now, something I've never asked anybody that grows hydroponically, do you taste a difference between the lettuce that you've grown hydroponically and the lettuce that you've grown in the summer in the soil?
I do personally taste a little bit of a difference. And then one thing that I was surprised by is the lettuce is a lot nicer if you put it in an ice bath first. So for those of us in cool climates, we don't really struggle with like warm lettuce. I do know if I want to have lettuce for dinner, I pick it early in the morning so that it is crisp. I don't pick it in the heat of the afternoon, but, the hydroponics, cause the house is a little bit warmer, it's a better texture if you chill it in an ice bath before you eat it. But you don't need to actually wash it. You just chill it and dry it.
Okay.
Because there's never any bugs in here, which is super nice.
That is really nice because I do have that issue with bugs eating some of my stuff.
Yeah, so, and kale, if you like smoothies, I'll just throw it there. It grows awesome kale too, or kale salads.
I bet. Yeah. Kale is just kind of, it grows so easily anyway. So I bet you in one of those, it just goes crazy.
Yes. Yeah. It's hard to keep up.
So you said that you wanted to talk about some tips for growing in a short season because you guys have a short season. Explain how short your season is and maybe your temperatures, and then maybe give a few tips on growing in a short season.
Sure. So I think we are somewhat close to you on frost dates. My last frost, I like to think of it around May 26th. Although then I have to watch out in June because it'll just dip down to zero in like mid-June area. So, but our snow is usually done by May 26th. So that's when you can transplant things outside. And then fall frost, again, fairly similar to you, is middle of September. So you are in a zone 5-6, you had said, and I am a zone 3. And the reason for that, if people haven't looked into zones or don't understand zones, the reason for the difference, even though our growing seasons are similar lengths, is because I get a lot colder in the winter. So perennials I can't grow the same perennials as you. So it sounds like we both have a little bit of a short season. So some of my tips for that, if you are a short season grower, definitely look for the days to maturity on your seed packages. I'm sure that's something, is that something you check out, especially when you're looking at squash?
Too. Yeah. Or I have
corn.
It means I either have to start it inside or, or I have to find something that will actually grow within the time period outside.
Mm-hmm. So make sure you're looking at the days to maturity when you go to buy seeds and you're buying ones with the fewest days to maturity. That's an easy thing to do as long as you know to do it. And then, like you mentioned, starting things indoors. So some of the things that I do start indoors, I start my corn indoors. Our soil is just not warm enough for it to germinate well outside. There might be the odd year that it would be okay. But since I've been on this acreage the first 4 years, I didn't get corn, even though I planted it. I would never get it. I kept trying and trying and trying. And then 3 years ago, I decided to try starting corn indoors. And ever since then, the last 3 years, I get awesome harvest of corn. It transplants great. I feel like there's this lie out there that says you can't transplant corn.
Yeah, I have not transplanted it too. And I've had people think I was crazy. And I'm like, it seemed fine. So how are you doing yours? Are you doing yours in pots or?
I am. And corn, corn should be in the deepest, narrowest pot you can find. I haven't ordered them, but I know, I think it was TNT sells some pots that you, like, you can open up, they unclip essentially, and you can pull out your corn, and they're a reusable one that's supposed to have like a 20-year guarantee. I think it was TNT Seeds in Canada. Anyways, yeah, long, narrow, because corn is tall and it doesn't have a big circumference. So it's the longest, narrowest pot you can find to grow your corn indoors. And with everything, you have to harden it off, right? To the wind, to the sunshine, to the night temperatures. And if I can, I cover it with plastic for the first couple of weeks, even once it's in the ground, just to keep it warmer because it is a heat loving plant.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, with the controversy about starting corn indoors, the first year I did it and I posted, so there was all the naysayers that are like, you cannot do this. But then I couldn't believe how many people private messaged me and said, my family's been doing this for 25 years, or, you know, I grow a market garden and I've been doing this for 15 years. And I'm like, what? Why did nobody tell me sooner?
It makes it so you can grow a couple more varieties than, because it's really hard to find a short season corn.
It is.
And like you were saying, it won't sprout unless it has the warm soil, which is can be pretty hard some years to accomplish without that. So that's cool. So are you growing sweet corn then?
I am. Yeah. Okay. Like eating corn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so other things that can be hard, like I mentioned, the pumpkins and the squash, those took me a few years to figure out. And I start mine around the end of April inside. Don't start them too soon. Some people think, oh, because this takes a long time, I'm going to start it even earlier. But squash and cucumbers are really prone to transplant shock, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
And so if you start it too soon, when you try and plant it outside, it'll just go into transplant shock and die. So kind of trying to figure out that good time to start it. So yeah, for me, the end of April, being super gentle with the roots when you do transplant, hardening them off, as mentioned, you can never, anything you start inside, you have to harden it off. And then my tip for that, again, like I have struggled with squash, is clotches. I don't know if you guys, I assume you have Dollarama in the States. The dollar store, Dollarama. Anyways.
Oh, we maybe do have a dollar store, but I haven't not called Dollarama. We just, ours is called.
Okay.
We have, yeah. I've never seen cloches there, but I would love to see cloches there.
Yeah. Our Dollarama in Canada here, they have these plastic cloches and they still to get the big size ones. They're $4 or $5 for one. So, you know, that's not super cheap, but when I do transplant things like pumpkin, I put that cloche over top and I leave it on for a good 2 or 3 weeks. So it gets hot in there during the day. Somebody gave me this tip. They're like, don't take it off. Just leave it on.
Like a little mini cook.
Yeah. I thought it would cook them though when the sun was shining, but no, it, so I finally feel like, okay, this helps a little bit.
I think we need a Dollarama here.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. I'm just trying to think if I have, those are some of my top tips
to tomatoes?
Get you started. I do grow tomatoes.
Okay. Are those hard for you there? Because they definitely look like a little bit of warmth.
Mm-hmm. So definitely those short days to maturity tomatoes, starting indoors, starting mid-March. So a lot earlier.
Yeah.
And, then just finding the hottest place you can to put them outside. So sometimes that might be in a pot on a back deck. They need a big pot, as I know, again, I know you know this, but consider using a black pot because that keeps the roots warmer and they warm roots. Or I do have a part of my garden that is just a lot warmer than the rest. So if you have a garden area or a backyard, paying attention to where the snow melts first is key in thinking. So I have like 2-3 beds in my garden that the snow always melts on first and the soil thaws out before the other beds. And it took me a few years to really clue into this, like plant my heat loving crops in these beds. These are my warmer beds. Like, why am I, you know, we try crop rotation, but sometimes you have to do it within your microclimate. So whatever you have to work with. Yeah.
On small pieces of property, sometimes you just have to go with whatever you have to work with.
Yeah.
Are you growing any fruit at all?
And I am trying.
Do well there? Okay.
So because of my poor soil, I have struggled to get any trees established. And so I have raspberries, and raspberries should grow like a weed for anybody. It's sometimes embarrassing. Well, I shouldn't say sometimes. It's embarrassing to admit I struggle to grow raspberries.
Okay.
The deer will eat them. If they're tender, the deer will sneak into my garden, because I thought I planted them outside of the compound thinking they would be okay. So this last winter was the first time I had raspberries inside my garden compound per se. Uh-huh. And I'm really hoping I actually get a decent raspberry crop. I get a few raspberries every year, but I've had dieback. So I learned that raspberries don't like the wind. So yes, they can grow like a weed if they're a little bit protected from the wind, but the north wind, if you have that full on to raspberries, it sometimes will cause that winter kill and the winter dieback in our zone 3 climate here.
Are you guys kind of flat there, so you get a lot of wind?
We're fairly flat. We are close to the mountains, and there's winds that kind of come over the mountains or around the foothills area that it can be pretty strong wind. So yeah, I have some pear trees, I have some apple trees, I have some hascaps. They are kind of like between a blueberry and a Saskatoon, maybe. Do you know what a Saskatoon berry is?
Yeah. We grow them here. They grow quite well here, so a lot of people have started growing them. Okay. But I have not heard of a hascap.
Yeah, or honeyberry, they can be called. A hascap and honeyberry are the same thing.
Huh, okay. I have not heard of either one of those. Interesting. I'm going to have to look.
Yeah, they grow really well. Yeah. Yeah. So far, because it takes a long time to become established, and because I've definitely had a learning curve with it, I do not have an abundance of fruit. I have strawberries. Those do all right.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, they do.
So you also said that, because I like to kind of get people's, not just what they do, but a little bit of their story. You said that you're not doing this full time. This isn't your full time gig. This is kind of your part time gig. And so you also have another job outside of gardening. Do you want to share a little bit about that? And
sure. So gardening. I work 0.5 on the ambulance as paramedic, primary care paramedic. I have been doing that for 17 years, I think.
Okay.
And I did mention to you earlier, I was off work with PTSD for a year and a half. And that was through like some really hard calls at work. And that was a really, really tough time in my life, a time when I was struggling to do anything. And gardening, although I was very quiet on social media, and I still have not gotten back in my rhythm of writing for my blog. So I did a ton of writing before my PTSD. And since, I still struggle a little bit with, I think, the focus maybe to sit down and write a blog post. I'm hoping that will come back with time. But I have been back at work for a while now. And I'm also on the volunteer fire department here. I had always said I would do that when my daughter was 12, because I did that for 6 years before she was born. And my first year on mat leave, I still responded to calls. And then when I went back to work, it was full time. And so I gave up the volunteer fire department, and I've been able to rejoin that recently, which I love. I really do love emergency service work. So
it sounds
I'm juggling a lot, but I've also realized that's part of my personality, and I thrive on a lot going on. So I just try and learn to find peace and quiet within my many hobbies.
Yeah. Well, you said that because of this job, which is obviously that kind of jobs, both of those jobs would be fairly high stress. You said that that gardening and your faith have played a pretty large role in you being able to handle that stress load. So I thought that was really neat, because gardening is a huge part of my happy place and where I go to just calm down and think. So I thought that was really, really neat.
Yeah, there's something so peaceful, hey, about going out to the garden and the birds singing.
Yeah, in fact, one of my favorite hymns, I don't know if you, a lot of people don't know old hymns, but one of my favorite old hymns is the one in the garden.
I'm not going to sing
because I don't have a singing.
To the garden voice. Alone while the dew is still on the roses.
Yes, that is one of my favorite. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I think of that one. Yeah.
But so I often think about that when I'm walking through the garden, just kind of that peaceful place where just calm down and pick. I actually enjoy weeding. I'm one of those strange people that enjoys weeding. So,
you know what? I am with you. That is interesting. Yeah. My coffee cup in the mornings. And yeah, I just, you know, I don't generally think, oh no, I need to weed my whole garden, but I just go out there and I pick weeds while I sip my coffee and
you just pull a few up.
Enjoyable.
So right now, are you guys having a fairly normal winter there? We have, we have such an odd winter here. It's very warm. So I wondered if you guys are having a pretty normal weather winter for you guys.
I would say it's fairly normal. We maybe haven't been quite as cold as some years, although we did dip down to minus 40, which I know is the same in Celsius and Fahrenheit for a while in January. It is very cold. And right now, today it was minus 26 Celsius here. I did the math because I'd posted on Instagram that's minus 15 Fahrenheit, I think. Word.
So how do your chickens do in that?
They are in an insulated coop. And when it gets down to minus 40, anything below minus 30 Celsius, we usually turn on a heat lamp.
Okay.
But in the minus 20, minus 26, they're totally fine. It doesn't faze them.
The breed that you have, what, do you have a specific breed or are they just like farm chicken?
Right now, it's kind of the farm chicken. I have some of the Americana, some of the BCM, the black copper Moran that lay the dark eggs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So cool. Kind of a mix of heritage breeds that I hatched.
Okay. Very cool.
I hatched all these guys myself from eggs of my own or friends. So they were just a mix.
So are your birds solely for laying then?
These ones are. We do also raise meat chickens.
Do you?
Yeah. Have you done meat chickens as well ever?
I have not actually raised them myself, but I have helped harvest hundreds and hundreds of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't wait. Well, we're on a quarter of an acre, so we can't do that where we're at. So I've just gone and helped friends and then come home with them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's nice. You can be part of it.
I can't wait to raise some, which will be happening for us probably next year. So, yeah.
Oh, are you planning to move or?
We are.
Oh, that's so exciting.
We have been planning this for years and it just kind of happened like 3 years ago where we bought some property and we're hopefully it's almost 100% that we will be moving sometime next winter and hopefully getting all of the ducks in a row so we can have some meat birds. I'm trying to keep my expectations low because I know it's going to be stressful to move and we're going to have to rebuild all the soil, which is the very sad part because I've been here 14 years and I've got beautiful soil now, but now I have to do that all over again. But I think that birds, you know, the birds will be able to help me rebuild soil. So,
How much land will you have at your new place?
We will go from a quarter of an acre to 20 acres.
Wow. Oh, that will be so fun.
So 80 pieces of our property now inside of what we have. And it's mind blowing.
That is a crazy way to look at it.
It's a little overwhelming, but we think to ourselves, man, look what we've done here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. If I can do that on a small piece of property, I can do so much more on a big, and it's helped us not to spread out. So we can probably keep a lot of that 20 acres just natural.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what's towards the house we can keep in working condition for the farm with animals and gardens. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, I just thought of this because we are going to be needing some bigger dogs. So what do you, so you have LGDs, do you have them because you like them, or do they help you with the chickens? Do they help keep the deer off? Do you have other predators?
We definitely have other predators. Okay. And I'm trying to remember why we got our first one. And I think I was hoping she would help with the chickens. Okay. We had a black lab at that time who was sick, and I love having bigger dogs. Even when we were in town, we had our black lab. So we have foxes, and we've lost, I think it's 26 chickens to the foxes before these two dogs were mature and before we had to. The foxes came through three times, and it's just devastating to find, you know, your pet chickens. I sewed one up with a sewing needle, and she was amazing. She didn't even flinch. My husband held her, and she healed quite nicely. And then the fox came back and killed her the second time it came through.
Oh my goodness.
So, and we had one chicken called Sunny that would follow my daughter around when she was like two, and they were besties. And so, yeah, when you find them dead, it's like,
oh my,
I know, you know, foxes are beautiful and whatever, but when they're killing your pets, it's pretty hard.
Yes.
So we still have foxes around. I saw one probably 2-3 weeks ago, just like, I'm not necessarily good with my math, but like 200 meters off our property. Okay. And our dogs have an invisible fence. We did have to get that because Pyrenees are known for their wandering. So yes, we did have to invest in that invisible fence, but our dogs, I love them so much. They are amazing, and they're amazing with the chickens. The other day I heard them barking during the day, which usually they don't. They'll bark at night a little bit. But anyways, I went outside to see what they were barking at, and they were chasing off a raven. And apparently it's not genetic to teach dogs to watch the skies, but especially our one, she watches the skies. And we do have owls and we have hawks. And
I was going to ask if you have birds of prey. Okay.
We do. Yeah. And we had lost chickens to that as well before these two dogs, but they work in pairs, and that's what they do. They guard the property, and they are great with the kids. They're, you know, part of our family too, but at the same time they do their job, and it helps me feel safe when the kids are outside. And even just, I don't know if you have much theft there, but I feel like the dogs are, they know who's allowed on the property.
Are they a breeding pair, or they're not?
So one is the mother of the other. So we have a mother and her daughter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have two females. Yeah. We have two males, but they're not Pyrenees. They're not going to be bigger. We have bears here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to need bigger dogs. Our dogs are, more herding dogs for herding. Yeah. They're Australian shepherd Bernese mountain dogs. So the Great Pyrenees are much, much bigger and more for livestock guardian. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to get two of them, and we're hoping to grow some, rabbits to feed our dogs. Our dogs are eating part raw. So we would like to get some rabbits and feed the dogs.
Mm-hmm. And you can actually feed dogs raw chicken with bone in. I don't know if
that's
know
what
that,
our dogs are eating
right now. Okay. It's I only just did that for the first time a few weeks ago. I had gotten some chicken that was part of like a farm food pickup that somebody shared, and I was nervous about it, and I'd read so many times that you can, but anyways, it's good to know.
It's just a little bit of an ick factor to get past the fact that they're chomping down raw meat and then maybe kissing you. But our dogs have been super healthy for it. They do still get kibble, but they get part of that. And and our cats do too. And we have cats to keep down rodents. Mm-hmm. So, but that's really cool. So you guys right now, it's March. So do you guys still have snow on the ground?
We do. Currently, like I mentioned, the temperatures are cold, and it snowed quite a lot last week, or just a few days ago. We had a big snowstorm, so we had at least 10 inches of snow, probably.
Nice.
But a month ago, we had a warm spell, and it was melting and nice outside. So it's called Chinooks, and we have warm wind that comes through the mountains from west. And so during the winter, we'll get these Chinooks of warm winds. which actually are really hard on perennials because it starts to thaw the ground and warm up things, and it takes that insulating snow off the ground, and then it freezes again. So, yeah.
That's my current concern because we actually lost all of our snow, and it's been really warm, and I'm worried that some of my fruit trees will bud, and then we'll get a hard freeze, and because it's unseasonably warm here, and we got a Chinook, but we're not from Canada, so they call it, is it El Nino?
Okay.
One of the two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, unless you have something else to say, I think this has been a great podcast. I think that we have learned a lot about growing in a colder grow zone. And then you also have some sites. Can you tell everybody where you're at? Because you're at a few places, social media, and then you have a website.
Mm-hmm.
And we will put those in the show notes for people to go to the website, and then they can click and find your information and find you, because there's a lot of information out there about growing in a little bit warmer climates. A lot of people grow even warmer than me, but more my climate, you know, down to, you know, zone 8 or whatever. A lot of people grow within that, but not a lot of people are growing in zone 3 and don't realize that you can grow in zone 3, and you're doing it well. I've seen your beautiful photos on Instagram. So it'd be really nice for people to be able to go and look at your stuff and learn some things. So tell me about where to find you.
Yeah. So as mentioned, my website is www.zone3. That's the number 3, vegetablegardening.com. And there I've just written, I've tried to write posts on all the veggies that I feel like I've figured out tips and tricks for, and shared those there, as well as things like your soil. And then on Instagram, Zone 3 Vegetable Gardening, again, is my handle there. Krista Green is my name. When you look me up, hopefully you can find me. And that is where I post a lot. I'm also on Facebook. I'm not a huge Facebook person, so although I am on Facebook, I don't post there quite as much. I have a gardening group that I run. I have a page there, as well as my personal Krista Green page. Pinterest, you can find me on Pinterest. And I do have some videos on YouTube. I haven't done many lately, but I do have a few videos there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on. It's been a pleasure to get to know you and to learn more about growing in cold climates. So thanks again
for
your time. Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you, Rachel. It's super nice chatting with you. I always love talking to other people who have similar passions and something that they're working towards for their lifestyle. So,
Well, as always, as I usually end the podcast, I tell people goodbye and grow where you're planted.